I would like to talk for less than a half an hour and then have Brother Apple come up and give that testimony that we didn't have time for last night. And then in the afternoon service, we'll finish these other things and have a great time. Praise the Lord. Okay, Hebrews, the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. Chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, all through the Old Testament he spoke by the prophets. Verse 2, hath in these last days, the New Testament times, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, hath in these last days spoken unto us. Spoken unto us, that means mankind. God has spoken unto mankind by his Son. In other words, he talked to the fathers by the prophets all through the Old Testament, and now there's one final message, one final messenger, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the final message. Jesus is God's last word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is God's last word, and beyond Jesus, nothing need to be sought. Nothing. You remember reading in Luke chapter 7, verse 19 in particular, and John, calling unto himself two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus and told them to ask Jesus, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? Now, I already said that Jesus is God's last word, and beyond him nothing need be sought. So John sent these two disciples and told them to ask Jesus, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And if you remember the story, the way I picture it in my mind is that Jesus told these two disciples of John the Baptist just to step aside and stand there for a moment. And then he began to heal people of sicknesses and diseases, and he cast out devils. And I picture these men watching Jesus do that. And if you will read the various accounts of this, I think you get the same picture. And then, after doing that, he said, now you go and tell John what you saw and what you heard. And then tell him this, blessed is he that is not offended in me. Even if John the Baptist's head was required of him, Jesus said, blessed is he that is not offended of me. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? You don't have to look for another. Jesus is the one that we look to. He is the one that was prophesied to come and has come. Well, what about the apostles? Weren't they messengers? Ah, but they had the same message as the prophets. And the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the Old Testament prophet said he's coming. The New Testament apostle said he has come. Jesus is God's final word, God's last word, and beyond him, nothing need be sought. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, beginning reading at verse 9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. Now we know this speaks of Jesus and his ascension into heaven. He's gone into a far country. And, oh, doesn't it seem like a long time? And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen and that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son, it may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. This is the final word. See? This is it. This is the heir. This is the owner himself. Let us, the one that will own all things, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So the prophets were sent forth. What did they do? Jesus said, which of the prophets have not your fathers stoned and killed? You killed and stoned all those that were sent unto you with the message. And now when the final prophet came, the great apostle came, when Jesus Christ himself came, the heir came, God's final word, they killed him. That's what this parable is teaching us. Now turn to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. No, you're not talking just about natural children, natural flesh and blood. But you've got the same spirit. You've got the same murder in your hearts that your fathers had. That's what Jesus is saying. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. Here's the witness. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. What did Jesus mean? He said, go ahead. Go ahead. You kill the prophets. You kill those that were sent unto you. Now you're going to kill me. Go ahead. Fill up the measure of your cup. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. And that's exactly what they did. They killed the Lord Jesus. God has spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus is God's last word. And Jesus speaks with authority. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Praise the Lord. That's Jesus. Okay? Then it says, spoken unto us by his Son. By his Son. Well, what does that mean? That means that he's greater than the prophets. He's greater than those prophets that were sent. Matthew 12:41 says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they, the men of Nineveh, repented at the preaching of that great prophet Jonas. And then the Bible says, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jesus, speaking of himself, said, a greater than Jonas, that great prophet that preached at Nineveh, and a whole city repented, kings and lords and beasts, animals, all fasted because of Jonah's preaching. And Jesus said, as great as he was, behold, a greater than Jonas is here. God hasn't just spoken in these last days unto us by his prophets. He has spoken unto us by one far greater than all apostles and prophets, even Jesus. Matthew 12:42, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. The queen of the south. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now you've heard of the greatness of Solomon. Jesus said he was greater than Solomon. God has spoken us unto us by his Son. Luke 7:28. Jesus talking about John the Baptist said, among those that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater prophet than John the Baptist. There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Of all the prophets, Jesus said, John the Baptist was the greatest. Listen to what John the Baptist said. I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, that thrills me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One greater than the greatest of all the prophets has spoken unto us. I don't know, but you hear psychologist Dr. So-and-so teach on the radio and we listen and we quote him and we say, well, that's what Dr. So-and-so said. Or we listen to somebody else and we say, well, he's the superintendent. Or we listen to somebody else and we say, well, he's the king. Or he's the president or something. But there's one here today that is speaking to us, even through this word, greater than the presidents, greater than the kings of the earth. He's greater than the prophets, greater than the apostles. He's greater than everybody. He's the greatest of all. He has spoken. Praise the Lord. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're talking about God's final message, delivered by God's final messenger. Not a prophet only, not a servant only, but a son. John the Baptist said of him, he that cometh from above is above all. You know, all the rest of us came from beneath. He came from above. He's the only one that came from above. And he is above all. Isn't that interesting? That is John 3:31. John 3:34 says, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. All things into his hand. He's the heir. He's the greatest. God has spoken unto us by his Son. The importance of the message is indicated by the importance of the messenger. Amen. He is great. He is great. Not only is he greater than Solomon, not only is he greater than the prophets, not only is he greater than all of us, but he's greater than things. You know, that temple that they had over there in Jerusalem, I mean, that was a great building. You know, I mean, that represented the presence of God. That was called the house of God. Jesus said, you have made my Father's house a den of thieves. I mean, what higher credence can you give to a building, to something, than the house of God? And yet, Jesus said, but I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. Hallelujah. He wasn't proud. He just spoke the truth. In this place is one greater than the temple. That's Jesus. We're talking about the greatness of Jesus. Remember the woman at the well? When the Messiah came up to her, she didn't know who he was. And he started to talk with her, asked her for a drink. And how is it you, being a Jew, talk to me, who I'm a Samaritan? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, he said. And the conversation went on, and finally she said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? Well, you remember what Jesus said to her after he cornered her. Remember, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He says, you said the truth. You don't have a husband. You've already had five, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. I perceive that you are a prophet. When Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. He that speaketh unto thee is he. I am he. Oh, man, I had that tape playing in my car one time. I was driving a back road out here and heading west. And when I heard those words that one time, something just jerked in me. He that speaketh unto thee, or I that speak unto thee, am he. This is the one. Is he greater? Is he greater than our father Jacob? Oh, he is greater. Amen. John 8:53, they asked him when he made such high claims, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? I mean, Abraham was great. Look, Jesus, you know how great Abraham was. You know the scripture, Jesus. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He's dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Whom makest thou thyself? Well, I guess he told them, didn't he? They understood, and they took up stones to stone him. He said, why do you stone me for? Because you, being a man, make yourself God. Isn't that something? How many people read the Bible today and don't understand that? And yet there it is right there. You being a man, make yourself God. And that's what we believe in this church, that Jesus is God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's great. You know, the devil knew what men didn't know. The devil responded like men don't respond. What am I talking about? James said in 2:19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. See, there's no fear of God in the land today. People hear the name of Jesus and they don't tremble. People hear about coming judgment and eternal damnation and they don't tremble. Devils are wiser than men. They believe and tremble. You know what God said in the last book of the, or in the last chapter, I think it's near the end of the book of Isaiah. God said, where's the man that trembles when he hears my word? Is that what God said? I better do it. I better do it. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. While not many men tremble, devils tremble. Matthew 8, 28 and 29. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Jesus, thou Son of God. They knew who he was. Men today ignore his claims. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Mark 1, 23 and 24. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Devils knew who he was. The Holy One of God. Oh, that men only knew who he was. Oh, that men only knew who he was today. And oh, that men who know who he is would tremble at his mighty word. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. By his Son. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He appointed him heir of all things. Jesus is the one by whom God created all things. Listen to John 1:3. All things, speaking of Jesus. I mean, they knew him when he walked this earth. They saw him. They saw his blood. They saw his sweat. They saw his thirst. They saw his weariness. They saw this man, and yet John, who went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with him and saw him transfigured before them, and John, who was in the Garden of Gethsemane with him, this John who leaned on his breast said these words, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. He was in the world. We saw him. Our hands touched him. We looked upon him. We beheld him. And John, after seeing that man in that state of humiliation, said that he's the creator of all things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, he also saw the resurrected Christ, didn't he? He also saw him ascend into heaven. Praise the Lord. And he was also in the upper room when the Holy Ghost was outpoured. And he himself was filled with the Spirit of the living God. And spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Colossians 1:16. Paul says the same thing. Paul, who was fighting this gospel of this man, Jesus. This gospel of Jesus Christ. He was having Christians taken to prison. He was having people killed. In fact, Saul was there when Stephen was stoned, and the killers laid their coats at a young man's feet named Saul. Saul later became the Apostle Paul. But anyway, he was there. But one day when he was breathing out threatenings against the church of the living God. The Bible says he met a man. He met a man called Jesus, and the brightness of the light of this one man was brighter than the brightness of the noonday sun. And he fell to the earth, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Paul had a real experience. Listen to what he writes to the Colossians. "For by him," that man, "by him, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him." And get this. "All things were created by him, and all things were created for him." Praise the Lord. He owns you. He owns me today. We were created for him. "And he is before all things." He was there before there ever was a sun, moon, or stars. He was there before day one. He was before all things. Praise the Lord. "And by him all things consist." Revelation 4:11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things." Remember, when it says Lord, it speaks of Jesus. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. So whenever you read in the Bible about the Lord, you are reading about the Jesus.
Amen.
You are reading about Jesus. Praise the Lord. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So the ultimate purpose for creation was our fellowship with God. The ultimate purpose for our creation was fellowship with God. But man sinned after God created man. God created man for fellowship with himself. Man sinned, and that fellowship was broken. But redemption, the coming of Jesus, the second Adam, redemption restored fellowship with God. Amen. "Who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person." Verse 3. The brightness of his glory. John 1:14 says, and I think we all know that one pretty well, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Who being the brightness of his glory? We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Now, I personally think that since John wrote this, that Peter and James could have written the same thing, because they were the three that were on the Mount of Transfiguration when they saw Jesus in his glory before them. Okay, what is this glory, or this brightness of his glory? That which radiates out from a light. Let me just read a couple of words here from a textbook that we went through the book of Hebrews on, and listen to a Trinitarian. "Christ is the brightness of the Father's glory," literally effulgence. This word means either that which radiates out from a light or the reflection which comes back. The former meaning is intended here. If we speak of God's glory, Christ is its very emanation and radiance. He is to the Father what rays are to a light, or flames to a fire, or beams to the sun. Without this sun, man is in the dark concerning God and salvation. God's magnificence as deity is fully seen in Jesus Christ, who was God in human flesh. Not bad. Who was God in human flesh. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in John 9:5, "I am the light of the world." Jesus said in John 14:9, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That word image means a stamp or seal, or the impression left by it. Maybe some of you have seen those signets that they stamp into wax, and then in the wax is the image of the signet. Well, that's what the word here means, and the express image of his person. Jesus is an exact and complete representation of God. Amen. "And upholding all things by the word of his power." We're talking about this great one, Jesus, the Son, who has spoken unto us. "The word of his power." In other words, by his powerful spoken word. How powerful is His Word? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Quick, alive. Quick means alive. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Remember when Jesus said to the lame man, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk"? What did the lame man do? He arose and took up his bed and walked. As a result of the powerful words that Jesus spoke, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." A million other people could have walked by that same man and said the same words and nothing would have happened. He'd have spent the rest of his life in his bed. But when one man spoke it, the greatest, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," the man arose and took up his bed and walked. That's powerful. We're talking about Jesus, the powerful one, upholding all things by the word of his power. You talk about a powerful word, there are people weeping outside the cave or the tomb of a dead man called Lazarus. And a lot of people have gathered there. Jews are there from all over, trying to comfort Martha and Mary and mourn with them over Lazarus. And Jesus walked up. John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, says Jesus wept. The Jews looked on and said, "Behold how he loved him." And of course, you know how the story goes. And then finally Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." You talk about a powerful word. When a man who is already putrefying, who is already stinking in his corrupting flesh, comes out of that grave with his grave clothes on him. And Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go." You talk about a powerful word. He said, "Loose him and let him go." There are some things for us to do, but there are some things we can't do. So he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Praise the Lord. That's something we couldn't do. I think probably more powerful than any of those physical miracles that Jesus performed was when they let the man down through the roof, expecting a miracle by their great faith. And the man was set right in the presence of Jesus. Jesus looked at that man and he didn't say, "Be healed." He said, "Son, you sure have a guilty conscience. Son, you are laden down with guilt. Son, I can look right into your life. I know your past history of sin and wickedness. I know all about you." Jesus looked at him. Oh, this man laying on his bed had a lot of time to repent, didn't he? Had a lot of time. I don't know what he had heard. You don't know what he had heard. We don't know. But Jesus said to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." That's a powerful word. That's the word that is spoken unto us today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized in his name. "Son, thy sins forgiven thee." Sins washed away, wiped away, gone forevermore. Isn't it great to start a new year with a clean slate? 1984. Man, I haven't sinned this year yet. Have you? You know? I haven't. Really, I haven't had one evil thought. I haven't gotten drunk. I haven't sworn. I haven't lied. I haven't stolen anything. I mean, most of us here could say, "I haven't sinned yet this year," you know? But it won't be long, will it? You know? We're weak. We're weak in our flesh. But oh, what a powerful word we have from the Lord. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. My blood was not shed in vain." Praise the Lord. He loves us. He forgives us. What a word. Amen. Let's stand for just a moment before we continue here.